Hello, hello, lovely souls. So here's another transmission, now on Venus retrograde. I want to talk a little bit about this transit, as it's one of the most important transits of this year. Venus doesn't retrograde very often. It happens only once every 18 months. So it's a very auspicious and very good opportunity to work with this archetype of Venus in this phase, in the retrograde phase. Basically, any Venus transit is helping us discover different spectrums of our being, and this retrograde is exploring these hidden matters of the heart, right? Of our relationships, of the relationship with ourselves, with other people, our value system, resources, our body, all of these things that the Venusian archetype represents. So just to give some dates here, so Venus started her retrograde phase on the 1st of March, and it's going to last until April 14. It started in Aries, it's going to have a start point on the 22nd of March in Aries. That means it's conjunct the Sun, so basically it's a Venus Kazemi. This is part of Venus's five-pointed star that happens over an eight-year period. I'll talk about this in a second. Then on March 27, it's gonna regress back into Pisces and we'll keep going retrograde in Pisces until April 14, when it's gonna station direct, and then switch to her regular direct motion and go through rest of Pisces and then ingress back into Aries. So for the next few months, basically Venus is doing this dance between Aries and Pisces. The retrograde is basically a 40 days period, right? So, and it's representative of a descent through the underworld, right? Venus is rebirthing herself. She's been an evening star for the past 9 months, and now she's rebirthing as a morning star. And during the retrograde, Venus is the closest to the Earth, is between the Earth and the Sun, so between ourselves and our ego. So it's an inward expression, right? Every retrograde basically is an invitation for an internalized experience. So through these invitations of going within, we're basically reclaiming our power in back. So when you think about it, we're all scared of Venus retrograde, that what's going to happen to my relationship? Is this the end of a relationship or my finances? But it's not. It's the whole journey is about empowering and strengthening your relationship. So it's not about ending it. It's just bringing to the surface what's not aligned. It's about closing karmic links, it's about like reframing it, but the purpose, it's always about strengthening and empowering. So yeah, like I was saying, Venus has been in her evening phase. She's been an evening star, then so that lasts for 9 months, then she's going retrograde for these 40 days, and then she's gonna be a morning star for 9 months. So this is the Venus cycle, right? And because so every Venus cycle lasts about this around 18 months, right? And every cycle happens in like begins in one of the signs where the Kazemi happens, so where the star point, right? It takes 18 months and then there's another star point, then another 18 months, and then another star point. So until she forms the whole five-pointed star, right? So the whole pentagram in the sky. And this happens, again, over an eight-year period. So each one of these petals, it's also like the rose. It looks like a rose when you connect those, the pointed stars. So each one of these five petals, basically, in each of the signs, it holds the secret of both life and death. It's a whole journey through the underworld, death, and then rebirth, and then coming back into life, empowered. And each one is an alchemical journey to these shadow depths and then back, an endless love story, if you may. A journey of devotion and sacrifice, and always returning back to the heart, because that's the center of it all, right? So now, because the next star point is going to be in Aries on the 22nd, that starts the new Aries cycle. So for the next 18 months, even though Venus will transit through different signs, through the zodiac, you will have this Aries quality to it. It's sort of like if you look at it through like another lens that you put in front, right? So you see through this tint. And the whole Venus cycle in Aries will last until the 24th of October 2026. So that's when a new cycle will begin. The last Aries cycle was 8 years ago. So we see it takes 8 years for this to come into play again. So when you think about 2017, the last time Venus retrograded in Aries and Pisces, reflect back. How was your life back then? What was your relationship to yourself, to your money, to your finances? Were you in any partnership? What was your belief system back then? So it's a good practice to reflect back on those themes and then see what changed in this 8 years, right? Also, because Venus, like I was saying, it changes from being an evening star to a morning star, that also changes the dynamic of the archetype, right? So Venus has different ways of functioning. In the evening star, she's more in the receptive mode, she's reflective, whereas in the morning star, she's more assertive, she's passionate, she's more bold, right? So it's a different aspect of Venus. And when we think about Aries here, so Aries is courageous, Aries is fiery, Aries is impulsive, passionate, unapologetic, Aries is bold, right? So Venus in Aries is asking us to sit with these themes and to kind of like see how we approach our relationships with other people, our relationships with our bodies, with our self-worth, with our finances, and also reflect on where we are adopting other people's values and then reframe our life according to our own value system, our own wants, needs, desires. You know, the shadow of Aries is codependent, is people-pleasing. And then when you think about Pisces, on the other hand, Pisces is romantic, etheric, transcendental, compassionate. Pisces loves to blend, right? Pisces is the return to oneness, so it always likes to merge with the other one. But the shadow there is self-sacrifice. So again, looking at where and how are you sacrificing or overriding your own needs just to keep peace in relationships, and then finding that balance, right? So yeah, when we think about any retrograde, like this doesn't just apply to Venus, this is in general any planet that goes. So any retrograde, it's an opportunity to basically revisit, reflect, realign, reframe the relationships with that particular archetype. So this is general. And then when we think about Venus, well, Venus is, again, our desires, our value systems, our resources, our self-worth, its beauty, its aesthetic, its partnership, it's how we care for ourselves. Even when you think about the two expressions of Venus, Taurus and Libra, right? Taurus is the inner expression of Venus, and then Libra is the outer expression of Venus. So Taurus is the relationship with ourselves, and then Libra is the relationship we have with others. So we can see here how this invites us to then reflect on patterns, patterns from the past. There's a lot, because of this retrograde being a reflection on past things that influence our current relationships. There's a lot of a lot of patterns that can emerge from the past. Patterns of how we emotionally react, patterns of things that or challenges that we encounter, people from the past, like don't be surprised if an ex, for example, suddenly pops into your life again. All of these things might come in. But it's important when you think about Aries being fiery, very impulsive, to don't make reckless decisions, right? When you notice this, right? Because most often than not, and probably actually always, these encounters are not necessarily because there's something new that needs to happen. There's another page in that story, but more about clearing that past. So in the example of the ex, like I was saying, it's not necessarily that, oh, you need to embark on a new relationship. It's more like it's coming to the surface because there's an element of forgiving, there's an element of closure there, or yeah, resolving something. But the whole thing is just about clearing that and making space for something new, and yeah, not necessarily going back to that old story. So it's important to bring awareness, to be wary of getting into situations that really don't feel aligned. And also keep in mind that retrograde periods, it's not usually a best period of making big life decisions. So, I mean, that doesn't mean that if something's in the queue, like keep postponing it. But if you have the option of making a decision now, especially regarding all these Venusian archetypes of starting a new relationship, changing your appearance, changing your home, getting into a loan, investing, so all the things that have to do with love, money, relationship. Yeah, it's important to note that retrogrades, yeah, might not be the best to make big decisions in this aspect. But then again, it's like, follow your intuition, follow your heart. Maybe it is, maybe for you in your particular journey. I'm just saying here in general, if you have the option of choosing a date, I would say from my perspective, making big investments would be like, maybe do it after 14th of April when Venus goes direct. But if you have to, then I'm pretty sure that that's part of your dharmic path, so yeah, go through with it. So yeah, follow your own direction. It's very, very important. Also, when you think about it, there's a few other archetypes here at play. There's Neptune as well, which is currently at the end of Pisces. It's been in Pisces for 14 years, and this is the biggest generational shift that happens this year as Neptune moves into Aries. And yeah, we'll retrograde back into Pisces later this year for a couple of months, and then next year it will move for good in Aries for the next 14 years as well. So that's a big shift. So Neptune for the moment is still in Pisces. Neptune is this planet of illusion, fantasy, dissolving boundaries, the dreaming, being in the liminal space. When we think about Venus and Neptune, and Venus will intersect with Neptune on her in her retrograde motion. Venus, Neptune, it is a lot about fantasy. So it's important to release this. You know, like when you're living in that illusion of perfection, when we see things through a rose-tinted glass. You know, so to accept what it is and not what we want it to be, especially with other people. We have this sometimes, you know, like the Venus Neptune tendency of seeing them through these rose-tinted glasses, projecting our expectations and our fantasies onto them. And so yeah, it's important to be grounded here, and yeah, to have a level of realism, right? And this is again like something that will intersect with Venus is there's a Venus Saturn, right? Saturn is, it's about devotion. Saturn, it's the gravity. If Neptune is kind of like the liminal, dreamy planet, Saturn is the very realistic, material, physical reality, right? But when you think about Venus and Saturn, Venus and Saturn have this element of devotion, because Venus is devoted to love, to pleasure, to relationship, and Saturn is devoted to maturity, to mastery, to always doing the best in everything that Saturn does. But Saturn, because it's also restriction and hardships and limitation, sometimes can be judgmental, right? So when you think about Venus, our desires, in Venus in Pisces being feelings, our feelings, romantic, transcendental, compassionate. With Saturn there, it can also mean a judgment towards our desires and our feelings. So see where you feel like you're judging yourself for basically your cravings, your desires, and then how can you come back to your truth and understand that those desires are a gateway to your evolution, basically. So there is this thing in the Gene Keys, Richard Rudd mentions, very nice about desires, like not all desires need to be acted upon or followed, but all desires need to be felt. And this really resonates with me, because I feel like it's very important when we think about the nature of our desires, that every desire says something about us, and every desire is a portal to knowing ourselves at a deeper level. So it's not about shaming or dismissing them or suppressing. It's about sitting with it and seeing what is the invitation there. What is that desire actually tells us about ourselves? How can we meet ourselves at a deeper level through that desire? And then obviously, if it's not something that's helping us grow or expand, then we don't need to act upon it. Not all desires need to be manifested or enacted, but we do need to feel it and see what's the invitation there. So yeah, be wary with that Venus Saturn aspect of any judgment towards your desires. So let me see, what are the themes can come through this retrograde? So I was mentioning this idea of old flames, past lovers, unresolved relationships. Be wary that these are for closure, not for reconciliation and getting into a new partnership. It's all about self-worth. Taurus, the inner expression of Venus, is about self-worth. So see where you are playing small, where you are not feeling worthy of what you're calling in. Because a lot of the times we're calling in stuff in our lives, like more money, a better job, a nicer house, all of these things. But then it's also important to reflect on our receptivity, right? And this is very important with Venus, is how we receive, right? Because we always transform. So basically, how we manifest or how we attract something in our life happens through the lenses of our self-worth. If we don't feel worthy of it, it's impossible to receive it, right? So then we unconsciously sometimes block ourselves from actually receiving the very thing that we are trying to manifest. We self-sabotage ourselves. So it's very important to reflect on your relationship with your self-worth and how are you open to receive. Also finances, right? Any fear, resistance there when it comes to you getting paid, you asking for money, you receiving money. Also receiving compliments, for example, not only money, but yeah. But when it comes to finances, also I want to mention here, like loans, debts, all of these things might come to surface during a retrograde, because there are things that are excavated And also, it's very important to sit with your spending habits and see how are your spending habits. Are these in alignment with the person that you want to be? Do you notice some shame, guilt there when it comes to your spending habits? It's very important to sit with it, right? And then also, like, see what is your relationship with your creativity, aesthetics, your passions, your hobbies, all of these things that you do, especially art, for example, like singing, painting. If it's something that you crave, but you kind of like put it on hold for a while, or yeah, see, this would be an opportunity to bring it to the surface again. Also in the shadow, like, you know, while I was saying this, Neptune, Venus, and also Venus retrograde, be wary of any disillusions, even when it comes to finances, financial breakdowns. Like, be wary of any instability in relationships. It's also important to bear in mind that any relationship that you are in will contain a repository of karma that you need to go through. It doesn't need to be a karmic relationship, or it doesn't need to be something that's very challenging, but that's how life works, right? And this is something that I've learned through exploring the Venus sequence in the Jinkies. While we all have our karma, right, that we need to burn through, that determines our dharmic path. And through our dharma is how we attract people into our life. So through our dharmic path, this attractor field, we attract people in our lives, and these people help us reveal our karma, so then we burn through, and that our karma determines our dharmic path again. So see, it's the cyclical nature. But then every person that we meet will reveal parts of our karma, so through those challenges, through the situations that we find ourselves in. So it's important to bring awareness and to work with them at the level that they come, and also realize that life is spiralic. A lot of the times we might go through the same challenges, but every time we grow and expand, we see them from a different vantage point. And you know, when you work through any relationship, there needs to be vulnerability, communication, transparency, honesty. These things are very, very important, especially for your primary relationship. And your primary relationship is the most important, because that's where most of the challenges are going to come from, and that's where life will keep testing you, and that's where you need to actually commit and be devoted to. You know, like when you go full heart into something, that deep level of commitment is like you're ready to weather the storms together, and then you're ready to face even more deeper layers of yourself and even harder challenges, and then that strengthens the relationship more. But when you're like half-hearted, then you're just gonna fall at the first sign of trouble, you know, and the relationship will dissolve. So it's very important, when you feel in your heart committed to something, to stick with it through thick and thin. What other thing do I want to say? So it's important to expand basically our capacity to hold everything, you know, love, money in our life. It's important to work with this idea of like, what are we allowing in? And then realizing that everything that we have or experience in our life is a reflection of the state that we're in, of our inner state. So then taking everything as an invitation for a deeper exploration, and then surface, or like bringing to the surface what lies deep in our subconscious, and then working through those challenges or blockages or karma, and then that will expand our capacity to hold even more. So yeah, very important. Also, this retrograde, and any retrograde, since I was saying it's a lot about this past work, it's important to slow down, you know, to go at a lower pace if you have the option to, yeah, take some breaks. very important to be thoughtful, mindful before taking action, especially with this heightened energy and a lot of stuff happening in Aries, like Venus retrograde in Aries, Mercury retrograde later this month in Aries, Neptune entering Aries at the end of the month, and then in May Saturn. So there's very, very strong Aries energy. So with Aries being very impulsive, it's important to not be in the shadow side of it, but more to have an awareness and be thoughtful, yeah, to assess, pause before taking any action. So yeah, well, I think this is pretty much what I wanted to cover. Yeah, so just ask yourself, like, reflect on what is asking to be processed from your past when it comes to your relationship and your resources. How are your spending habits? What are the feelings attached to those when you spend money, receive money? How do you feel about it? That will tell you a lot. And yeah, like, where do you give your power away? How do you override your own needs and not nurture your own needs for the sake of keeping harmony or peace in a relationship? And then, yeah, I want to actually, I wrote a post a while ago about the Venus star point in Aries that I posted on Instagram. And I want to close this transmission actually with just a bit of a couple of phrases that I wrote there. So what I wrote there is, Venus is the harmony we seek, the self-worth, the key to abundance, how we open to receive from life, the aesthetic lens of our life, how we love and what we value. Our lives are a story of Eros. The story of evolution is the greatest love story ever told. Our collective values are based on the intimacy we share with one another. So the root of our existential crisis is the myth of separation and the illusion that we are separate from nature. Venus is our way back to nature and to each other. It shows us how we can rediscover the Eros within us, the intimacy that connects us. We stop comparing with each other and recognize our uniqueness, and in that uniqueness, our self-worth. Venus in Aries is the breath of a new collective story of intimacy. So yeah, with this, I'll close this transmission. I might do another transmission once Venus regresses into Pisces, focused more on Venus in Pisces. But until then, I hope you all navigate this transit with ease and grace, and sending you all much love. Thank you so much for listening.